the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
And welcome to show number 154 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. And as you can hear, it's our hurricane show.
It's windy.
We just all got back from Walt Disney World and we survived Matthew. So this week what we wanted to do is kind of go over some of the things we experienced and what might happen if you're at Walt Disney World the next time a hurricane comes through. With me tonight, I've got Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy, how's it going?
Get a little bit of the blues from being freshly back from Disney, but hey, be back in February, so I'm okay.
Yeah, there you go. Along with us tonight also, we have Sam. Hey, Sam.
What's happening? You know, it's one of those things. You think that I would know better. This is the second hurricane and second time that I've been to Walt Disney World when the parks were closed for a day.
So it was you.
It might have been.
I was going to say the same thing.
It might have been. So the other, for those keeping score, was Hurricane Floyd in 1999.
Nice.
Yeah, I was there then too. And what's interesting is the similarities and the differences. We'll get to that.
Oh, yeah. And, guys, this is Ed, and welcome to the show. So the girls are still down in the park. Charlotte's down there still, and Jen had gotten back a little after us, and weren't able to make the show tonight. We're hoping that Lisa might be able to call in. We'll see how that goes. Otherwise, we're going to be talking Hurricane Matthew. As you might have heard, this past week, there was a hurricane that came up the Florida coast that really was nothing to worry about, say, 2 weeks ago, and it developed into a major pain in the butt.
I think that's exactly what it was. It was just a pain in the butt.
And Matthew was interested in the scavenger hunt. That's what it turns out.
Right.
Well, we did get the scavenger hunt in, so everything wasn't all bad. And as Jimmy just said, it was really kind of a pain in the butt in that it turned out not being as big a thing as we thought it was going to be for the parks. However, seeing a lot of the footage from the coast, it was still a very, very devastating storm.
Absolutely. No, it was definitely dangerous. If you were on the coastline, it was dangerous. I just going through that and, you know, living in New Orleans and we go through it pretty often. You know, the news, they kind of blow this out of, this is their thing. This is where they get to shine and, you know, make hay. So, they kind of blow it a little bit out of proportion, especially the one guy that said, how did he put that? If this shifts a little bit left, you will die. Everyone you know will die. And, your children will die too.
Yeah. I think he might have been suspended.
He's probably fired. So they do the media, the news, the local news places, they do blow it out of proportion. And I know that's part in an effort to get people to leave because some people don't want to leave. But Orlando, especially Orlando's pretty far inland, and Disney's even a little bit west of Orlando. So it's kind of right in the middle of the state, and it's not a coastline place. And
And you know what? You think that through, and it's a very logical thought. But and let's go, I guess, through this step by step, because Wednesday is when we first started really getting kind of paranoid and worried about it. And then Thursday was the time we started waiting to hear from the actual hotel and the resort itself, if they were going to close the parks perhaps on Thursday or close the parks for Friday. I think at that point, Thursday morning, we had already heard that Universal Studios had closed or SeaWorld. No, SeaWorld had already closed. And they were going to be closed for Thursday and Friday. So the rumor was that perhaps the parks were going to close at 5 o'clock on Thursday. So we basically got as much as we could do done Wednesday and Thursday, at least for me getting down there on Tuesday night.
Well, I think part of it is, and we kind of saw this on Friday, I don't think Disney has anything to do with it. I think once Orange County put their curfew in place, Disney has no choice but to shut down the parks, because the curfew was supposed to extend all the way through Friday evening till like 8 o'clock at night. But then once it kind of passed through and they realized that really nothing was going to happen, they lifted it at 2 o'clock. And as soon as they lifted it is when we got the announcement that Disney was going to open up Disney Springs.
Well, sure. But even that, with the Friday announcement of Disney Springs, we were expecting that kind of because of the last hurricane.
Message 1. This message was recorded from extension 1050 at 3:24 p.m. on 4th of October.
Good afternoon. Walt Disney World Resort is currently operating under normal conditions as we continue to monitor Hurricane Matthew. Recent forecasts indicate that there could be rain and wind in the Central Florida area as early as Thursday evening. The safety of our guests is very important to us, and we will continue to update you as we have received more information. Please feel free to contact the front desk if you have any questions or need assistance. Thank you, and have a wonderful day.
This is a classic case of plan, prepare for the worst and hope for the best. And I think that's exactly what you have to do in this situation. You see that there's a large storm coming. It's going to get close. There's going to be rain. There's going to be winds. Disney's number one priority is the safety of all of their guests. And if that means closing a park to maintain that safety, that's what they'll have to do. And we all know they don't want to need to do that, but that's what they do. And Ed, you and I had talked. Jimmy, you mentioned being through this before in New Orleans. This to me and to our listeners that are north looked a lot like planning for that nor'easter blizzard that's blowing through the Northeast, where you have a huge storm that has tons of blue and white, and it talks about the inches of snow you're going to get. But in relation, it's this big circle of reds and oranges and wind speeds and amounts of rainfall. And the way that people react was very similar in both cases, and the similarities were remarkable. And Ed, you and I commented on it.
Oh, yeah, it was the same exact thing. Literally, the milk was off the shelves, the gas stations were going dry, and water was a big commodity. The big thing on the radio was the people being arrested for gouging. It was amazing, I guess, because they have it happen so often when they have the prices and the type of things start disappearing off the shelves, prices go up where they start raising them. I heard cases of water going for $20 and things like that. But then also, like I said, they had this hotline for gougers, and you heard people getting arrested.
Oh, yeah, because it's illegal.
Yeah.
So anytime a state of emergency goes in, they make it illegal to – they can't raise the prices more than a certain percentage.
It makes sense.
Well, I don't know if they can raise it at all once the emergency goes into effect. It was the way I heard it on the radio.
And Florida may be a little different. I'm not sure. I think they can. I think you can go up some. I think there's. You can't expect the gas station to take a loss, because just the fact that the storm is going to hit somewhere and it's going to close down refineries will make gas prices go up across the country.
Sure.
We've already seen that here. Because of that storm, gas prices have gone up like 8 or 9 cents. So you can't make them – I don't think they can make them lock down the price, because there is going to be a fluctuation. But I think it's percentage-wise. Like, it can't go up more than 10% or something like that, or otherwise it's considered gouging.
And the thing is also, what I understood from the entire process was that Florida was trying to make it as easy as possible for the people to get off the coast. So I think it was more of a thing where money was the issue, meaning they were providing buses. The tolls along the toll highways were suspended all weekend. So if raising the price of gas is going to say to people they're not going to be able to get out because they can't afford that increase, and that's why I'm thinking – they probably suspend it, and afterwards they'll probably raise the price to get it back. But either way, I mean, that was just some of the things we were noticing and seeing and hearing about.
Well, so let's talk about that for a second, because that's the things, Ed, and let's put this again. You were off-site. I was at Coronado Springs, a moderate resort. Jimmy was at All-Stars, a value resort. I consider myself being in the Disney bubble while this was happening. So I was not watching, other than a warning every once in a while on my phone, I was focused on my Walt Disney World vacation, not monitoring a hurricane that might be coming in. And in that mindset, I think Disney's doing the right thing in leaving me a voicemail a day before saying, hey, there's a storm that might be coming. We'll let you know what's up, but go and have fun. But did that create a false sense of security too? There's sort of two sides to that, right?
This message was recorded from extension 1050 at 7:09 p.m. on 6th of October.
Hola. Good evening. Due to severe weather, we have made adjustments to our dining options for this evening in order to best accommodate our guests. For your safety, we ask that you stay here at Disney's Coronado Springs Resort to dine. Restaurants and other resorts will be honoring reservations for guests staying at that hotel. For your convenience, the following offerings will be available until 9 p.m. Las Ventanas will be having a soup and salad bar. Rick's Lounge will be having sushi and sandwiches. The Pepper Market and Cafe Rick's Grab and Go will also be available. Thank you and have a wonderful stay with us.
As the parks were concerned and their cast members, there was never a time when it was an urgent issue that the storm was coming up.
Right.
Never, ever at all was it ever a concern. Other than maybe, and you guys are going to have to back me up as far as the night at the hotel Thursday night. Because I did see a lot of the videos from you guys, and there was a lot of people running around and scampering around. And I got to imagine for cast members, that had to be not that fun a situation.
It had to be.
I still don't think the cast members were panicking. I think it was just a matter of, hey, the parks are closed, and now we got to feed all these people that, you know, the vast majority would eat in the parks.
If you had a dining reservation Tuesday or Wednesday night, it was canceled. You're done. Go back to the resort. There's no place else to go.
So I don't think it was panic.
Thursday night.
I don't think it was panic. I agree that there's some, like, frustration and kind of everything's a little bit chaotic, but it's not, oh, my God, a storm's coming. It's, oh, my God, we got to feed all these people.
All right. Okay, well, let's back up now. Wednesday we heard that the storm was coming, and it was definitely going to hit. It was actually moving closer, so we knew it was going to happen. So Wednesday going into Thursday, did you guys do anything special to get ready as far as food or water or anything like that?
Yes.
You're saying you're in the bubble, but what did you do that you got ready for?
I had Frank pick me up more beer to bring to the resort.
Well, okay. And then the necessities were done. Anything else?
I really had no worries. I talked to one of the cast members who had been there for 5 years. She said she'd never seen Disney lose power since she's been there. And that's one of the worst things in a storm is just losing power.
Sure.
Right. And that's one of the things I was like holding out for, because if you got to get stuck in your room, it's one thing. But if you got to get stuck in your room with no power, that's a whole different story, especially in that little square hotel room that you're in.
Yep.
Yeah. So I had a car. I did rent a car earlier in the week. I had made my normal stop actually with Jimmy. So I had my case of water and the breakfast foods and the snacks that we would have anyway. So I did not do any additional preparations than that. So I was pretty well stocked when it came to bottles of water. And
it just so happened I was with you when you stopped, yes. And I ended up buying a bunch of snacks and stuff to take to our room too.
Which you ended up needing.
Well, and you know, I felt like, you know what, worst case scenario, look, we can eat, you know, granola bars and that type of stuff, you know, for a day if we have to.
Right. And by the way, that was at the Speedway near the boardwalk after we left the Abracadab bar, but we'll save that for another day.
Yep.
Okay. Now, when I was getting ready for this, Wednesday would have been no problem finding anything out there. Thursday, once everything started closing down at 5 in the afternoon, everything on 192, which is where my hotel was, started closing down as well. We're talking McDonald's, Burger King, fast food places. All the gas stations already at this time are out of gas. They're all like they had the police tape around the pumps, except for Wawa. Now, it's a weird thing because Wawa's only been in the Orlando area for like 4 or 5 years, and it's been up in Philadelphia forever, and it was the store that kind of had everything. I was able to get gas because now Thursday I'm driving back to my hotel. The guy on the radio comes on saying, hey, you know what? The gas isn't the problem as far as having it now. It's that to get these gas stations restocked, it might not happen before Saturday or Sunday. And maybe even some places Monday. And, of course, this is before the storm, so everyone's thinking the worst. And I only had a half a tank, and I have to go back to the airport on Sunday. So I'm like, oh, I got to find gas today. Wawa had it. I filled up. Got a couple hoagies, a couple Hot Pockets. Went back to the hotel.
Hot Pocket dinner, baby. Nice.
Now, something my hotel had, my inexpensive off-site hotel that the other hotels on the Disney property don't, is a microwave. Oh. A small, simple microwave, but that came in incredibly handy. Sure. And even staying on Disney properties, when I come back with meals that I paid a lot of money for and I have leftovers, I'm really kind of bummed out. I can't heat it up.
Well, you can. You just got to take a little truck to the food court. That's where,
well, that's what I'm saying.
That's where,
sure,
the preferred room comes in handy.
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress.
Or a deluxe where it's in there, but that's a whole other story.
And if you're staying in the concierge level, well, then, hey, that doesn't matter at all. You just ask
it for you, but we're not
ask somebody to do it for you. Yeah.
So
next,
let me ask you guys this. When there was a lot of back and forth chatter, a lot of social media, which, by the way, is the biggest difference that I found from Matthew and Floyd 10 years ago, right? Just social media and being able to watch Twitter and Facebook and communicating,
sure,
with each other, not just yourselves, right? If we were there as a group, we had the extended group and everybody's talking to each other. And the rumbling started that, hey, the parks are going to close at 5 o'clock. The parks are going to close at 5 o'clock, which one of the comments I made was, I'm not believing anything until Disney tells me. So when did you guys first hear officially that 5 o'clock parks were going to close?
I'm still waiting.
I was in.
I never really officially heard it. It ended up being word of mouth until the parks just closed because we assumed it at that point, at least myself. However, people said they heard the announcements. Some cast members were announcing it as rides were starting.
The first I heard it was in Memento Mori. The cast member at the cash register told
us. About what time do you think that was, Jimmy?
Had to be around 11 o'clock.
Around 11. That's way before I did. Epcot made an announcement at 3 that the park was going to close at 5. I don't think they said it would be closed the next day, but that was the first time I'd ever been in a park where they made a park-wide announcement. I was actually outside the Rose and Crown. Now, I had actually heard about it a half an hour before that when I checked into the DVC lounge over at the Imagination Pavilion. When I checked in there, the member basically said, hey, so you know the park's going to close at 5. We're going to be closed tomorrow. And he gave me the explanation and asked if I needed anything. But that's the first time I had heard officially that they were closing.
That day, so just going back to thinking about that day, I talked to Ed about this. I almost feel like the storm was a blessing and a curse. It kind of sucked that the park was closing at 5 o'clock that day. It ended up not being that big of a deal for us. We went and hung out at the resort, had a few drinks with some friends, and just kind of just did that. Friday did suck a little bit, but we knew that it was coming. So, you know, we didn't set an alarm clock or anything. We just slept in.
Right.
But Thursday, before the parks closed at 5, we had a breakfast reservation at Ohana that morning.
And it was a 7:30, so we were up early anyway.
Yeah. So, and then we went directly to Magic Kingdom. And, Ed, I feel like we got more done in Magic Kingdom in a few hours than, you know. And the night before that was extra magic hours at Magic Kingdom. So we were there till 12:30. So between extra magic hours Wednesday night and then nobody being in the parks on Thursday, we pretty much got everything done in Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, no, it worked out really well. We even went over to about, I guess, 1 o'clock. We went over to Hollywood Studios.
Yep.
Got over there, spent the last 3 hours at Hollywood Studios until it closed, and then headed out to hunker down.
And I felt like we got a good bit of stuff done in Hollywood Studios in just a couple hours.
Right, and it's kind of cool because our discussions were kind of budgeting around time. We're like, well, we went on Tower of Terror with like 10-minute wait, not even that. Came out, Rock and Roller Coaster is going to be 45-minute wait. Well, do we want to do 45 minutes or that, or do we want to try to get on something else, probably get on 3 other rides in that 45 minutes, which we did.
Yep.
Perfect. So I was over at Epcot that morning with the family, and we got quite a bit in. We did the Frozen Ever After. We were able to do Soarin' and a few things like that. I did find it – well, it was interesting because even walking around World Showcase, the food and wine booths were still open, although one thing I did notice, a lot of the things that could potentially blow away or that weren't tied down were gone. So all of the high top tables that were around World Showcase were gone.
Right. The signs
for Food and Wine were gone. The extra carts that have the cash registers on them, they were gone, and it was moved into where they were cooking. But Food and Wine was open and operating. And I also noticed as I went around the things that were disappearing, and I'll have this in a photo report, but in China, for example, where we stopped for a little while, all of the things that would be hanging were absolutely gone and missing. All of the light fixtures around World Showcase were sort of wrapped with cellophane. I don't know if that was to protect them or if they broke to keep them, but it was interesting to see how they prepared for this.
Well, it's funny because I didn't really notice a lot at Magic Kingdom or at Hollywood Studios happening in that regard, and it might be just a matter of the different type of parks.
But as we walked around World Showcase, all of the entertainment was still happening. So I happened to walk by Canada, and I got the new band playing in Canada that was kind of cool because these guys are all wet, and they're up there playing and just jamming away, and it was pretty cool to watch that and just forget about the hurricane for 15 minutes while you watch these guys play. That was pretty cool.
Sure. And that actually became the theme of the night, and the next day was trying to forget about the hurricane.
Yep.
At that point, it was going to be a definite, you know, hit the coast. It's going to be – and they were actually at that point Thursday afternoon predicting – 80 mile an hour winds in Orlando, and we were going to get Kissimmee was going to get 70 or 65. So I mean, 20 mile an hour is kind of substantial with all the trees flying around. So we were getting ready to see what was going to happen. Now, staying off site, I didn't expect much from my hotel, and I didn't really get it. Everybody was pretty much on their own. Although the next morning they still had the breakfast. And as far as some of those breakfasts go, the Galleria Palms has eggs, sausage, and then on top of that, the regular carbs that you get at these things, the cereals and
sure.
the muffins and stuff
sure.
like that. But the hot food was always a great extra that they have at this place. So they had all that. It was nice. It was open for an extra couple hours.
That's good.
Yeah,
yeah.
You didn't invite me to breakfast once.
So here's where I absolutely should have relied on my experience from Floyd, which this very similar thing happened. The park may be closed at 3 or 5 o'clock, but in that case, they were open the next day, so it was much different. But when you leave the park, so we left Epcot, and Jimmy, you're leaving Hollywood Studios, and you go back to your resort, and everything's closing at 5. Everyone is coming back to the resort, and everyone is looking for food at the same time.
Yeah, I saw some pictures, and that was the one part I did not regret staying off property about.
Those
that was perfect.
Food courts are not set up to accommodate that many people
no,
at one
not.
Time.
No, absolutely.
Nope.
They did their best, and Disney went out of their way, but they're not ready. Now, here's where I messed up, and I should have learned, because I'm walking around World Showcase, and I see somebody walking out of Via Napoli with the pizza to go. And I'm thinking,
wow,
that is such a good idea. I need to go and get something. Then the thought started crossing my mind, well, like you said, Ed, there's no microwave in the room, and it's kind of expensive to take a pizza. We'll figure something out. And I could kick myself in the butt for not grabbing it, because it would have been perfect to go back to the room. We had a car and eat a pizza from Via Napoli. But instead, I'm waiting in a line in a food court after I tried to go to McDonald's. And, Ed, you and I talked about this. I jumped in my car and thought, well, I'll just hit the McDonald's. I'm at Coronado Springs. It's right down there by Animal Kingdom. In fact, I tried to call Jimmy to see if he needed anything. But it really didn't matter because they closed at 5 o'clock, too, and it was about 5:30.
Hmm.
So I decided to head down 192 to see if I could find anything. And seeing the traffic, I found a safe place to turn around, and I went right back to the resort because there was no way I was going to wait there.
Oh, that's right. There was traffic down at the bottom of World Drive getting on the 192 Thursday afternoon, and that's when that first wave of rain came through, too.
Right.
And that was really intense.
So, and I don't know if you saw this, but everyone's familiar with the roads on Walt Disney World, and occasionally people try to make a U-turn across the median, right, the grass that's in between it.
Yeah, the two cars were caught in there.
They were – so somebody decides, you know, I want to make a U-turn, but I'm going to find a safe place at a red light to make a U-turn where you're allowed to. They decide to go through the grass, and literally the cars were sunk to the fenders. They were completely stuck. And I'm thinking, what do you do at that point? You're stuck in the middle of the median. A hurricane's coming. Who's going to come and tow you out?
Yeah, right. Nobody. Well, you know what? You're still on Disney property, so you have a better shot than anywhere else.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Now, back at Coronado, the lines were long. Coronado has a sit-down restaurant. They closed the sit-down restaurant. They brought out additional quick service items. So I don't know where this was coming from, but they had lots of quick service coming through. One big difference between Floyd and Matthew, back at Hurricane Floyd, it was the same thing as far as the lines go. But when they declared a state of emergency or whatever it was, Disney actually cut the price of the food by 50%, believe it or not. Which back during Floyd, we thought it was great because you're paying $15 for a sandwich in the food court, right? And they cut it in half, and it made it reasonable, and I think people were happy. That did not happen this time during Matthew, and I thought that was a miss, but it's only because I knew about that. I don't think anybody else did.
Right.
Management
may be included.
Absolutely. That could be the case.
I'm going to pause you right now.
Yeah, good.
In 1 minute, Hallowicious starts.
Oh, yeah.
Lisa is there if you want to call her.
Hello.
Lisa. I'm trying
to. Yes.
Hey, it's Sam and Jimmy.
Wishing. How's the trip going?
Outstanding. It was incredibly busy today in the park. Busier than I thought it would be.
Where are you right now with your live call into the show? What's happening?
Right now, I am standing on the top floor of the Contemporary Resort. Just wrapped up dinner at California Grill, waiting for my fritters to hit the table for my dessert.
Nice.
And just getting a great perspective of exactly how far away the fireworks are behind Magic Kingdom. When you stand on top of the Contemporary Resort, you really see how far back they set these off. You don't see that when you're standing on Main Street.
That's very true.
We can hear him in the background. So is this regular Wishes or Hallowishes?
Regular Wishes tonight.
I can hear it.
Tonight, Magic Kingdom closes at midnight with extra magic hours. So 2 a.m.
Wow. Are you headed there next?
So you guys...
I'm heading there next.
Do you have any fast passes? Or are you done your fast passes for today?
No, we wrapped up our fast passes earlier in Epcot.
Okay.
So I think what you have, though, is when the fireworks are over, everybody's leaving and you're going to be going in.
That's right.
That's
beautiful. That's right, which is good because it was crazy when we were there earlier. So I'm really excited to get in there and have a lot of fun with the left line. 210-minute wait today for Mine Train.
Oh. Ouch.
You guys are down there for quite a long time, so you're able to get a lot done. So
you still have another week.
Finale?
That's the finale.
Oh, I heard it. Man, it makes me want to be back there.
How can it not?
So yeah,
February.
That's right. It is an outstanding view from the top of here. I'm on the right side. They have two observation decks on top for the Contemporary Resort. So I'm actually on the right side that you can stand and look across at the Bay Lake Tower and everybody on top of that roof.
So let me ask you, this for those listening. How did you manage to get up there? Was this just a regular dining reservation you made? How far in advance? How did that work out for you?
This was just a regular dining reservation I made. And no word of a lie, exactly 180 days in order to get the dining reservation I wanted in order to see Wishes from the rooftop.
While you were dining, right?
Yep, while I was dining.
Absolutely wonderful. And now for anyone else that's done this before, you can dine at California Grill earlier, and then they'll allow you to come back if you have your slip so that you can watch the fireworks from up there. It's a great perspective.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, absolutely. As long as your slip is from that day, there's another deck that they'll put you on that you can watch the fireworks. But it's definitely a great spot to watch them, and I hope you guys are having a great time there.
We definitely are. It's one of our absolute favorites, and it's one of those things where I don't take many risks when I'm eating dinner. California Grill is one of those places where I typically take the waiter's suggestions. And today I had a piece of meat that it literally, hands down, the best meal I've ever had in my life.
Nice.
Which is what I say every time I come here.
That's awesome. I've never been there, so I'm going to have to go try that place.
That's awesome. I've only been there for appetizers and sushi, which is really good up there.
Highly, highly, highly recommend. And people rave about the sushi, and sushi's just not my thing. But I had a piece of meat today that it was probably, hands down, the best piece of meat I've ever eaten. It was outstanding.
Well, I tell you, you did some live streams last night from on the Disney Nerds podcast Facebook page, and man, they're getting like some great responses, and you did a really good job. I know a lot of people are commenting they couldn't be there, that really enjoyed seeing the Boo to You parade, and I don't know the character's name, but it's one of the characters from the Haunted Mansion. What's her name?
Her name is Madame Renata. She was
okay.
I had not seen her before, and she was hysterical, absolutely hysterical. We saw her on the way in, and when we came out, she had just come back out from her break, and we had that opportunity to talk to her. And then it started raining, and it turned out she didn't like being up there in the rain, so she came right down and wrapped up with a picture with us, which was great. She was outstanding.
That's incredible.
The parade is, in my opinion, the best parade Disney has to offer.
I agree.
So where was your vantage point for that parade? Because it was perfect for that live stream.
It was when you are walking from Liberty Square to the main circle there in front of the castle.
Right.
If you walk straight out and across the road and stopped right where the end of the road is and turned around, that's exactly where I was. So they were coming straight at me down the center of the road.
That's why that vantage point was so good. It was a straight on look at all of the floats coming through. Absolutely perfect. Great job on that.
I
had cast members ask me how long I needed to wait in order to get the spot.
So what's the answer? How long did you wait?
Last night at 10 o'clock, they did Celebrate the Magic. At 9:50, I got to about 10 feet away from that location. So they did Celebrate the Magic at 10. At 10:15, they did Hallowishes, and I knew that they would leave. Most of those people had already seen the first parade, so they would leave, and we would be able to slide into that spot. So 9:50 to 11:15 when that parade started.
Nice. It was worth it because it was a great shot, and we appreciate it.
No problem. Any time, I wish.
Exactly. Right. Isn't that the truth?
Lisa, thank you so much for calling in and joining us. We truly appreciate it. And we'll let you get back to your vacation and get back to Angela. And you guys have a wonderful rest of your trip. Can't wait to see you guys again in February.
All righty. Well, thanks for having me on, guys. You guys have a great night, and I will talk to you soon.
We'll see you, Lisa. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Message 4. This message was recorded from extension 1050 at 7:27 p.m. on 6th of October.
Hola, good evening. During your stay this evening, we invite you to join our cast at the Convention Center in the Durango Ballroom for a night of crafts and activities, beginning at 7 p.m. until 9 p.m. You can also meet with some of our Disney characters as they join us at the Convention Center in the Durango Ballroom. While in your room, tune to Channel 31 for some of your favorite Disney movies. Have a great night.
So I wish that I had that pizza from Via Napoli, but I did not. Mm-hmm. Now, Disney did make the best of the situation. The lines were long, as I mentioned. They brought in extra food and did their best, but you were going to wait to get food. They did bring Minnie Mouse and Pluto that were entertaining the children in line, which was kind of cool to see, right? They're doing something, so they have some characters there. It was adding a little, you know, bringing smiles to everybody, because you can imagine these lines of people and nobody's really smiling, but then when Minnie Mouse walks down the line, everybody's smiling. Now, another thing that they did at Coronado, which, by the way, is a convention center, they set up a few of the rooms in the convention space. One of them was essentially they set it up like a movie theater. So you know how they do the big screen outside next to the swimming pool? They actually brought that big screen inside. They blew it up in a room and were playing Disney movies for the kids all night long, which was good.
Very
nice. The same thing they did the next day, Friday, along with the activities that would have been by the swimming pool. They sort of did those inside. So they did their little dancing and they did their crafts and that kind of thing. So they tried to get the kids involved, even though, you know, the next day the food was, okay, there's chicken or there's meatloaf. So they didn't try to do the full food court. It was limited, but they were able to serve everybody and make the best of a situation that nobody really wanted to be in.
But so what did you do Thursday night?
Thursday night for dinner, what I did?
Mm-hmm.
What did you do?
What else did you do other than dinner?
Oh, what else did we do Thursday night? That was really about it Thursday night. We hung out down there. We were tired, as everyone else. We had done the Halloween party. We had done the Star Wars fireworks. We'd done extra magic hours. And it was kind of weird to tell the kids, hey, guess what? You get to sleep in tomorrow, so let's just sort of hang out, do what we can, and get a good night's sleep and let them sleep in, which you never do at Disney World, right? You're always up in it.
Right.
Yep.
But that's essentially what we did.
At All-Star Sports, most of that was kind of, I would say, very similar as far as the food court situation, some limited options. We did see some characters, such Chip and Dale and Goofy and
nice
out running around, the lobby area, just kind of entertaining the kids, keeping people busy. Friday morning, I felt like by middle of the day, they got stuff pretty much going. They didn't offer the full menu, but the lines weren't ridiculous on Friday like they were Thursday night. And they had hamburgers and hot dogs and chicken nuggets, I think is what they had. So they didn't open up all the booths, but what they had, they were making quickly and getting it out. So I guess that's the idea. Instead of opening doing the full menu, let's just make a bunch of these three things and just get people served, which it worked because the lines weren't right. Terrible. So
right. Now, somebody mentioned that there had sandwiches in bags or bagged lunches or something like that they were selling too.
Yeah, so Coronado typically has a grab and go place, which is just take a sandwich with you, and they had extra ones of those coming in.
I think Sports did that too, like box meals, just a sandwich and chips.
Exactly, box sandwiches, which were, this is where I wouldn't have felt so bad if it was half price, but, I'm kind of stuck with a choice that I didn't necessarily want, but I had it, and okay, it is what it is. But I just felt like they could have done something there, price-wise.
So Thursday night, we have some friends who, Heidi and Frank, that live down in Orlando locally, but were coming to stay at All-Star Sports with us Friday night and Saturday night because of the meets, so they could just catch buses and not have to worry about driving and all that stuff, and going back home to Orlando. So with the storm coming, they actually came in a day early, booked another night, and came in on Thursday. So they stayed with us Thursday night. We just hung out, I don't know what you would call it. It's just the area where, the elevators and all that are kind of – how the value resorts kind of make a T? And in the middle of that T, right in the center of it, there's just a big area with steps and – the elevators and the little room with the concession. So we just hung out right there, kind of out the weather. We had some other people that came down for the group, Joe and his wife, who was staying right there, and my parents were right there. So we had probably about six or seven people just kind of hanging out right there, just having some drinks and just enjoying the breeze.
Message 5. This message was recorded from extension 1050 at 8:23 a.m. today.
Hola, good morning. With Hurricane Matthew in the area, there is still a curfew in effect until Saturday morning. For your safety, we recommend that you stay inside your room. For the safety of our cast, housekeeping services or deliveries which require outdoor travel are suspended. Our food and beverage locations are also closed until further notice. In addition, Walt Disney World theme parks, water parks, Disney Springs, miniature golf courses, and ESPN Wide World of Sports Complex are all closed today. Thank you for your understanding. We will continue to provide updates to your in-room voicemail system. But if you have any questions or need further assistance, please contact our front desk. Thank you, and have a wonderful day.
Yeah, very cool.
That's all you can do. You can just all you can do is make
really
the best of it.
And we got through Thursday, and on Thursday they had told everybody the parks would be closed all day Friday. So you sleep in Friday, you wake up, and I don't know what was going on with the All-Stars or what your experience was, Ed, but at one point one of the voicemails that we received, which you may play, indicated that they wanted you to stay at the resorts. Stay in your rooms as much as you could, and it just, who really wants to do that? So we ventured down to the main lobby area of Coronado Springs, and again, they had the characters out. They had the DJ playing. They had the movies in one of the convention rooms. So there was a lot of activity happening, and that's when we started to hear some of the rumblings that, hey, they might be opening Springs later. They might be opening this or that, which ultimately led to us learning that Springs was going to open at 5. So my question for you, when did you guys hear that officially? Or how did you?
Social media. I heard it through you guys,
yeah.
And somebody said they heard it first on the boards.
I think we heard it first, just kind of rumor. But then shortly after that, it wasn't very long after that, I got a message on the resort room phone.
And that's how I learned. There was a message.
Yeah.
Now, interesting enough, at Coronado, and we have this audio.
This message was recorded from extension 1050 at 3:40 p.m. today.
As weather conditions have improved, the curfew for our area has been lifted, and we are soon making more offerings available for you to enjoy. Disney Springs, including Disney Quest, will open to guests this evening with limited shopping and dining available. Walt Disney World bus service from this resort will begin at 5:45 p.m. If you have your own transportation, parking will be available beginning at 5 p.m. Saturday, our theme parks will resume operation, and more information can be found on My Disney Experience. We will have more updates when they become available. Here at Disney's Coronado Springs Resort, we are still operating modified food and beverage options. We ask that you dine either here at our resort or at Disney Springs. Restaurants at other resorts will only be honoring reservations for guests staying at that hotel. Thank you for your understanding. If you have any questions or need further assistance, please contact our front desk. We hope you enjoy the rest of your stay.
It essentially said Disney Springs will be opening limited offerings at Disney Springs will be available starting at 5 o'clock. The first buses will board at Coronado Springs at 5:45, 45 minutes after the thing opens. So I was wondering, Jimmy, did they start buses for you guys right away, or how did
they were buses rolling probably about 4:30.
So I'm wondering if they staggered them through resorts, or they just at Coronado Springs said that to keep everyone from going to the bus stop at one time, because the whole resort's going to try to be on the first bus, right?
Oh, sure. And something I forgot, another interesting thing they did at All-Star Sports is starting like Thursday, I guess probably about 5 or 6 o'clock, they turned the arcades all to free play.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so you could just go in the arcade and just play all the games you want for free.
So that they're at
they weren't,
a bunch of lines.
But they weren't all free play. That was the only downside to it. When I got to hit the tail end of that, and there were a lot of the cheap machines were free play, but none of the good, like, sit-down Star Wars machine wasn't.
I didn't try anything that wasn't free play. I mean, the little basketball games, the football game.
Right, Tron Arcade was, Tron Pinball was.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I took advantage of that when I came over there on Friday. Because here's the thing, I found out from these guys that Disney Springs was going to be open, so we all said, okay, let's meet up at 6 o'clock, we're going to meet down there. And I drove down, I think Sam drove down, and then everybody else took the bus down. Now, I got there probably about 5:30, And at that point, the garages were starting to fill up. I parked in the Lime Garage, so that's the one closest to the
It's the newest one.
Yeah, and it's the one closest to the side with the T-Rex and things like that. And coming down the Lime Garage, I noticed how there was this line in front of me. And that should have been my first indicator right there, because it was a line that went nowhere, and it was just starting to rain again. So I kind of was waiting for everyone to show up, and I was really curious and followed the line around. It ended up being, after going around a corner, going around another corner, and around this like little courtyard, the line for the T-Rex.
Yeah.
And that was just the first indicator to tell everybody, and this is only at 5:30 now, how crowded Disney Springs was going to be. Right. So now think about this. All the people staying on the Disney hotels are in one place, basically. I'd say probably about 90% of the people in the hotels bugged out and went right to Disney Springs.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What else is there to do? There's nothing else to do. Orlando had a curfew that had just been lifted, so it's I will be honest, I considered going to another location and not going to Disney Springs.
Those people waiting in line at T-Rex that you saw at the end of the line, Ed, could have hopped in a car, drove to Tampa, went and got something to eat at a nice restaurant, and drove back before those people got served.
You're probably right, Jimmy. You're probably right.
Yeah, that is legit.
So they said the parking lot would open at 5. First bus at 5:45. I had a car. I was pulling into the parking garage at just a couple of minutes after 5. Now, I was coming from Coronado Springs, so the first parking garage I hit is the orange garage, which is the one closest to the former location of Planet Hollywood, which is where the World of Coke store is now. We got off there and immediately got in line for food. The closest thing that we haven't tried before was Deluxe Burger, which, by the way, was outstanding and a topic for another show. We got in that line. We waited for maybe on the porch, maybe 15 minutes to get served. When we left, the line was similar to what you described for T-Rex. It was off the porch, all the way down, around the corner, across the bridge, and wow.
Right. So you had about a half hour from the 5 o'clock opening to find a restaurant to eat at and get online. Other than that, you were done. And it was even crazier in that these big lines were only lines to put your name in, not to actually get to the front and go inside the restaurant. So it was just unbelievable.
And by the way, to be clear, there were absolutely no ADRs or advanced reservations. This was strictly first come. There was no such thing as getting a reservation.
So now think about that, though. What would have happened if someone had a T-Rex reservation for Friday afternoon at 6 o'clock that got canceled because the whole park closed, but then they opened the park again? I wonder if that would have still been on their My Disney experience and how that would have worked out, just as odd as that would have been.
So I had the day that was rained out was our Animal Kingdom day originally, and My Disney experience for me had all of my fast passes and my Yak and Yeti reservation that I was watching come and go while the rain was coming down, which is very discouraging, by the way.
Now, what was kind of a surprise at Disney Springs were some of the places that were open and some of the places that were not open. Now, Starbucks wasn't open. Rain Tree Cafe was not open. T-Rex was open. The Lego store was open. So it was really kind of hit and miss as they were going. Of course, the Disney store was open.
Disney was open.
Yeah,
You know what was interesting was that when we passed the co-op, it was closed, and then we passed back again, it was open.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, so that threw us off. Only one of the food trucks on the way to the west side was open, we had heard.
Yep. Star Wars store was open. I made my way in there.
Yeah, and basically we talked to some cast members the next day at the scavenger hunt, and they were saying, yeah, they were just trying to get people in there and the stores they can get in place where they opened up, and the ones they couldn't, they didn't.
Something.
So I will say that we went in the World of Disney. We looked around until I saw the line for checkout.
The registers,
yeah. Was like, there's no way we don't need to wait in this line. This is not something we need to wait for.
And I could understand this being the opportunity, perhaps you're leaving the next day, so this would have been your last chance. You're going to wait online in the store and get whatever you need to get. other than that, I don't get it at all.
No, it was ridiculous. I mean, and they've recently redone, we talked about on the previous shows, they redid the registers, the way that you check out, that one entire room that leads to Ghirardelli's, which, by the way, was not open, is all registers, and the line went through the middle of the store almost all the way to where Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique is on the other side. It was just...
Wow.
Nothing like I'd ever seen on the busiest day in there before they expanded it. It was
right.
Wow.
Well, so we eventually met up with everybody we're going to meet up with, and we had our Friday night meet at Disney Springs. So it was pretty cool. We had about 15, 17 people there, and we got a great picture. But at that point, we were like, you know, this is ridiculous, insane, and crazy. Let's take off for the hotel where nobody's going to be at because they're all here. And we went back over to the All-Star Sports and basically hung out at the bar, drinking over there for the rest of the afternoon or the night.
It worked out because nobody was there.
Was perfect.
We got a table right next, you know, just one of the pool tables, little bar tables right next to the bar, the closest one, and got to just sit and relax. And so it worked out well.
Because here's the other thought, too. If you would have stayed at Disney Springs till it closed, then you and everybody in the parks that are staying at a resort would be going back at the same time, too.
Yeah.
So that would have been kind of insane.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So it worked out pretty well. You know, we went to see it, we saw it, and we left.
Yep.
Now, that being said, the next day was a beautiful day. We woke up, and I just could not believe how they had us. There was no way you could tell when you got to the parks there was a hurricane the previous day.
Yeah.
I didn't see any debris. I didn't see anything broken. I didn't see anything that indicated that we had an issue.
The only debris that I saw were, you know, pieces of palm trees, which would have fallen on a normal day, right? It wasn't anything big.
Right. Now, outside the parks, it was still a mess. Around my hotel, it was definitely a lot of palm fronds down, tree branches, things like that. We lucked out. Nothing hit the parking lot. Nothing hit the cars. And, you know, basically, it could have been a whole lot worse, and you really can't tell. You always have to hope for the best, and we lucked out this time.
That's all you can do. I should have learned and gotten the pizza to go. Would have saved some headaches, would have said some waiting in line. I did, as we mentioned, I had stocked up earlier, so I had a case of water. Disney did swing by and give us emergency flashlights.
That at sports as well, yeah.
Okay. So.
When I heard that, when you guys shared that with me, that's when I thought that maybe they know something a little bit more that we don't know, considering your cast member said they never lost power in the whole time she's been there, yet they're handing out flashlights to everybody. Did you guys have to give them back?
I left it in the room. There was also mosquito spray in the room, but there haven't been any reports of Zika.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that's just an over-precaution just to make sure.
Sure.
I put a Mickey Mouse sticker on mine, and I have a souvenir Hurricane Matthew flashlight at my house.
Did you take the flashlight?
Yeah, I did.
It was like a dollar flashlight from like.
It is a reminder of Hurricane Matthew on my show.
I would have taken it if it was that. If it was a cheapo,
if it was a cheapo one,
I would have definitely taken it.
It was
Because you got to think they weren't planning to get him back, and how much you want to also think that all the housekeepers that went through there the next day that found them that people left them,
either
kept them or chucked them themselves.
So interesting, my father reminded me, because he was with us for Hurricane Floyd, they had given everyone glow sticks, not flashlights, back for Hurricane
Floyd. See, that's cool.
You know, the big, thick glow stick, the one that'll stay lit all night, but they had given.
Sure, the emergency supply glow stick.
Yeah, and I do remember, so Hurricane Floyd was before any, you know, the Twitter and the things we have today. They left us notes in the room. That essentially said, and I could probably find this, you want to fill your bathtub with water, which was sort of scary. And they made an announcement at the time I was at Caribbean Beach. They made an announcement that they were evacuating a couple of the buildings, which was not very settling, right, having stayed there. But as we found out later, it's because those locations were lower and they could have been flooded if the water would have come that they thought. So, and I think the bottom line is, Disney is not going to let you stay in any of those facilities unless they're absolutely sure you're going to be safe.
Sure.
Right. And they did that this time around,
absolutely
too.
They did. And the only places where you could have not been safe, they evacuated. Right? The bungalows right. and the campgrounds and the few places like that we heard they moved people around.
Yep. Cool. So we survived it.
We did.
And next time you guys go, if you ever get stuck in a hurricane, you'll survive it too.
You will, but get that pizza at Via Napoli before you leave Epcot.
Or try to plan out for a better time of the year, too.
Or even – so I'm even thinking I could have got a burgers at Electric Umbrella, and it would have been better than what I ended up with that night. But hey, what are you going to do?
And then the next thing you know, it was over. So
it was. And you know what? Any day at Disney is still better than, you know, a day at work.
Right. Yeah. Now – in the aftermath, once I'm home, I'm thinking about it. I'm definitely going to be writing a letter or an email asking about the day I missed at the parks, because it still kind of stinks. I couldn't extend my vacation an extra day to take advantage of that. So I had a 5-day pass where I was only able to use 4 days. And I'm not expecting anything really, but I'd be interested to see what the reply is. So I'll let everybody know what I find out. Also, we had our mixology planned for Thursday night, 5:30, so we missed that by only a half hour. And so we're going to find out about that also and see what happens. Now, what we're going to do is once the girls get back, we're going to get back on and talk about the trip kind of in more detail, a little bit more of the fun stuff, and we're not going to mention the word Matthew at all.
Yes, can't wait to have that conversation. I want to talk about Halloween parties and Star Wars fireworks and stuff like that. Forget this Matthew stuff.
Oh, sure. And there was a lot of cool things we did this year for the first time. There was a lot of great new food and wine items and so much from this trip to talk about. Well, I tell you what, we want to hear if you were down in the parks when Matthew came through and what happened with your story. Let us know, and Jimmy's going to tell you how.
You can contact us on Facebook, the Disney Nerds Podcast Facebook page. You can email us, thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. Join our group, Disney Nerds in all caps. Twitter at the Disney Nerds and Instagram at the Disney Nerds Podcast.
Okay, guys. Well, thanks for listening this week. We all survived Matthew. Thanks for coming along with us.
Quirini.
Congaloosh.
And we'll talk to you next week. Bye bye.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like it.